This is a product of Purpose Creative
Radio.
Network. This is a product of Purpose Kingdom Network, and this is the show Self-Expression, and I am your host, Brother Robert Pop-Pop Hudson. And I'd like to thank everyone for joining us for the 379th episode of Purpose Kingdom Network. And I just love to thank everybody for joining us. And if you're online listening, I'm just going to give you a quick heads up, and anybody on the phone lines, I'm going to cover a lot of scriptures. So I'm just going to give the scriptures out, and we can see if we can, keep up as we go along with the program. And, the title of my, tonight's show is Purgatory, Is It Real? Don't Ask Catholic. We'll get into, the main subject of, my topic. But for right now, if you've got a pen and paper, you go ahead and jot this down. We're going to cover Romans 5:8. Isaiah 53:5, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15, and we want to do something with 1 Corinthians also, chapter 3, 12 through 15. Also Hebrews 7:27, 2 Corinthians 5, 6 through 8, and Philippians 1:23. And, before I go any further, I'll give you a chance to, go ahead and, catch up. And, that way, if you want to read along while we're going through the program, you'll know what scriptures I'm going to be reading through. At some point, I'm going to just, paraphrase a couple of the, the scriptures. But, like I said, you can go ahead and you can read along. And doing, my broadcast, I'll announce, the scriptures and what point I'm at, during the broadcast. So once again, it's going to be Romans 5:8, Isaiah 53:5, 1 Corinthians 3:15, and also 1 Corinthians 3, verses 12 through 15, Hebrews 7, verse 27, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 to 8, and Philippians chapter 1, verse 23. And usually during the beginning of my broadcast, I like to read, something I've written down. What I'm going to do is I'm going to surprise, even myself. I've written something down, but I'm not sure where I got it from. So I'm just going to read it and just, just take a listen. Jehovah, God, my provider. The word says, I should bring all my tithes and offerings into your storehouse, and that there may be meat in your house. You said, if I do this, you will open to me the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. A good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Now, Lord, be it unto me this week, according to do your word. In Jesus' name, amen. And thanks for listening to that. And like I said, I've written it down. I'm not sure where I've written it down from, but that's something I've written down. I wanted to share. Now, the reason why I'm broaching the subject of purgatory is because within like the last, I'd say 12 to 10 days, I found a place where it seemed like it was a great idea when I started visiting. It was this church that, one day I was, low on gas and I was, shooting off to the nearest gas station and, to get fill up in gas. And, I seen a sign that says drive through prayer. And I thought, hey, you know what? Everybody needs a prayer and, prayer never hurts anything. So I went and, went through the drive through prayer. When I was going through the drive through prayer, it was a father there, and normally, you know, one of my concepts is, you know, if you believe, you know, that that should be, you know, good enough for me, I'm not going to bother whether, you know, whatever faith you are. If you believe, that's what you believe, that, you know, you believe. You know, other than the, you know, the Islamic faith, I've never really, you know, taken in a word of, you know, any other religion until, you know, like I said, the past couple of days. And, you know, a couple of things that were, you know, were being said while I was being prayed over. And, you know, listening to the words, you know, like I said, instead of, you know, sitting there bowing my head and concentrating, you know, my eyebrows started to rise when, you know, certain things were, you know, were being said as I was, you know, supposed to be being prayed over. This place, you know, like I said, it sounded like a great idea. You know, actually, it's a great concept. But the word that was, you know, given to me, I wasn't, you know, I wasn't feeling it. And a lot of the, you know, the words and the way, you know, the words were put forth to me, it was something that, you know, I said, you know, I couldn't sit and, you know, pass this same information along to somebody because it's not true. And, you know, one of the things was that, you know, when I was being prayed over was, you know, the word purgatory. And, you know, what I, you know, where I set forth a motion I can finish in purgatory. And, you know, when I asked the guy, you know, and the guy told me he was, I'm not going to mention his name because this, you know, like I said, this is, it's well publicized as far as their drive up, their drive through prayer. And, you know, like I said, the last couple of days, you know, I've been driving through there and we've been going back and forth, and you know, he's given me some scriptures, and when I read it, you know, the scriptures don't match up to what he's saying. You know, it doesn't surprise me because, you know, with the Roman Catholic Church, you know, the way they like to spread their rhetoric and their y'all know what I'm trying to say. But when they're trying to spread that, you know, one of the things that they do is they try to beat you over the head and they try to twist and turn words. And sure enough, you know, when we were going back and forth, you know, with, you know, different scriptures, and the scriptures, like I said, he would give me into what he was saying, seems like it's the wrong interpretation. I started to dig deeper. I found out where that separation comes from. And, you know, I'll go into it later on. But, you know, in the meantime, you know, like I said, I'm just, you know, Brother Robert Pop-Pop Hudson. I'm not minister, you know, elder, reverend. So, you know, if there is, you know, any, you know, ministers or, you know, reverends or, you know, anybody, you know, of God's calling that, you know, as I, you know, go into the program, if it's something that I'm not saying right, you know, like I said, just like the Father, when he, you know, when he was, you know, praying over me and he was saying some things that I knew were wrong, you know, if it's, you know, if I'm saying something that's, you know, a little bit off the mark or not on the mark, you know, feel free to call in at 323-870-4174. And, you know, if you want to speak to me, you know, just hit the number one, and then, you know, you can go ahead. And like I said, I'm not, you know, one that, you know, criticism or, you know, if, you know, something I'm saying or the way I'm presenting something is a little bit off, you know, I have no problem, you know, correcting and, you know, learning the right way. You know, right now, you know, the way it is, you know, it's all about saving souls and, you know, and bringing forth the information that, you know, we need to, you know, help each other. And so one of the things I want to go to is I want to give you the definition of purgatory. And purgatory is an immediate state after death for expiatory purification, a place or state of temporary suffering or misery. Okay, so that's the definition of purgatory. Now, like I said, the Roman Catholic Church, they have millions of dollars to spend on literature, little pamphlets, you know, things that's always floating out there. And like I said, they give you the wrong impression. That ever since I was a young child, I always saw that those little like comic book like books were passed out, and they were, you know, saying, you know, how you can join a Roman Catholic Church, and that, you know, they give you different scenarios of, you know, people doing different things. But, you know, what I did is, you know, I wanted to find out, you know, what does the Bible say about purgatory? And, you know, basically, you know, this is where you got to learn your Bible and you got to start reading, because all the answers are right there in the Bible. It's just that you want to make sure that you get the right interpretation. And if you did get the right interpretation, you know, you should be able to handle yourself as far as questions of that nature. And basically, you know, Jesus died to pay the penalty for all our sins. And that's where, you know, that scripture I gave you, Romans 5:8. And also, you know, to back that up is Isaiah 53:5. And it declares, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities, the punishment that brought us peace upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Jesus suffered for our sin so that we could be delivered from suffering. To say that we must also suffer for our sins is to say that Jesus' suffering was insignificant. To say that we must alone for our sins be cleansed in purgatory is deny the sufficiency of the atoning sacrifices of Jesus. And that's in 1 John 2:2. The idea is that we have to suffer for our sins after death is contrary to, you know, what the Bible says, you know, especially about salvation. So in purgatory, you know, like I said, and I go back to the definition real quick. And one of the parts it was saying is temporary suffering or misery. And from the way it sounds, you know, and the way it's presented, the purgatory is where you get a second chance at, you know, doing something right after you're dead, which, you know, is a total contradiction of what, you know, we're learning, you know, in the Bible and what is presented in the Bible. Now, this was a back and forth, you know, conversation that me and the Father had, and that I, you know, I really understand is the actual separation of the word and the word that they were presenting to me, and not only me, to the world, basically. Basically, you know, by saying that there's a purgatory, saying that, you know, Jesus never happened. You know, everything he did, there wasn't no direct pipeline from him to God to die for us, you know, for our sins. So now we're dealing with the separation. And, you know, dealing with the separation and from, you know, like I said, I'm just getting everything, you know, from, you know, my encounter, you know, going, you know, straight to the Bible. And, you know, the primary scripture passage as Catholics point, you know, to for evidence of purgatory is 1 Corinthians 3:15, which says, if it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved by only as one escaping through the flames. The passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 12-15 is using an illustration of things going through, you know, fire as a description of believers' works, you know, being judged. If our works are, you know, of good quality, like gold, silver, you know, any precious metal, you know, they will pass through the fire. And, you know, basically they're saying, you know, anything that passed through the fire, you know, that's, you know, precious or, you know, something like that, basically it'll go unharmed. And it says you will be rewarded, you know, for them. And, you know, and then also says, you know, if our works are of, you know, poor quality, like wood, hay, and straw, they will be consumed by the fire and there will be no reward. The passage does not say that believers pass through the fire, but rather that a believer's works passes through the fire. So, you know, once again, you know, you go back to 1 Corinthians 3:15, you know, it refers to the believer escaping through the flames, not being cleansed by the flames. So now with you know, like I said, there's a separation right there of what, you know, what the actual meaning is and what you're being, you know, taught by the, you know, Roman Catholic Church and the Roman Catholic priests, you know, and the fathers. What they're doing is, you know, they're twisting, you know, words around that is actually written in the Bible. You know, either knowingly or unknowingly, you know, I believe that they're knowing what they're doing, because when, you know, you confront them with what you, you know, what you learn and what you know, it seems like they're going around in circles, you know, as far as, you know, saying, you know, like I said, they're saying, they go back and they'll go say, and I said, they'll pull up those same scriptures that I just mentioned. And they'll go back and forth in a roundabout way of saying that, yes, the word does say that, but no, that's not what the word is saying. You have to understand and you have to read for yourself, and then you understand, you know, from what is being said. And, you know, is it a direct misinterpretation? Yes. Is it a deliberate misinterpretation? I can't prove that. But from the way it was been spoken to me, and when, you know, the way they, you know, they answer, you know, my questions, I can't discern from, you know, which, you know, end of it, you know, if it is a direct, you know, misinterpretation or it's a deliberate misinterpretation, you know, it's hard for me to, you know, follow. You know, basically going, you know, going through more, you know, purgatory, like, you know, many of the, you know, the, you know, the Catholic, you know, they got a lot of dogmas. You know, it's based on, you know, a misunderstanding of the nature of, you know, Christ's sacrifice. I won't give him the benefit of doubt. I'm just going to say, like I said, you know, let's just say it's a misunderstanding. And they actually really have not comprehended, you know, the Bible. And, you know, as a, you know, representation, you know, of Christ's sacrifice, you know, because they fail to understand that, you know, Jesus' sacrifice on the cross was, you know, absolutely and perfectly sufficient. And, you know, to back that up, we can go to Hebrews 7:27. And let me just, okay, hold on. We're going to actually go and, we're going to read, you know, Hebrews 7:27. All right. And Hebrews 7:27, unlike the other high priest, he does not need to offer sacrifices day at first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. All right, so that, you know, right there, that you know, that backs up, you know, what I said. And just going back to, you know, Catholics view, you know, like the merit works as a, you know, contributing to salvation, you know, due to a failure to recognize that Jesus, you know, sacrificial, you know, payment has no need of an, you know, additional contribution, which we can go to Ephesians 2nd verse, you know, 2nd chapter, verses 8 to 9. And let me see, I should be able to get there real quick. Okay, just give me a second. I'm up there. And I thought you guys weren't going to be able to keep up with it. It looks like I'm a little bit slow, but bless God, I'm going to get there. So Ephesians 2nd chapter, 8 through 9. And let's see, for it is by the grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not for yourself, it is a gift of God. And we'll go to verse 9. Not by works, so that no one can boast. All right, that was Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9. So, you know, purgatory is understood by Catholics as a place of cleansing and preparation for heaven. because they do not recognize that because of Jesus' sacrifice, we are already cleansed, declared righteous, forgiven, redeemed, reconciled, and sanctified. You know, I hate to say it, you know, I hate to say it this way, but that's their problem. Because right there, you know, through the whole, you know, the words of, you know, right there in the Holy Bible, it's right there. All you have to do is read it, and, you know, from their idea of purgatory and how they feel cleansing, and then, you know, like I said, Catholic Church has so many different dogmas, like, you know, Yom Kippur, where, you know, or, you know, Ash Wednesday, where, you know, Ash Wednesday is more understandable than, you know, a lot of their, you know, the other rigmarole that they have there, and where they, you know, they're portraying, you know, a far better, you know, gateway to get to heaven. Like, you know, there is, you know, there's a shortcut. You know, from what I learned in the Bible, you know, like I said, it's all right there in the Bible. All you do is read it. And it's, you know, basically, you have to, you know, go through him to get to heaven. And it's the way they're portraying it, you know, you can go through the fire and be cleansed of your sin. And like I said, it's like Jesus never happened. You know, he never sacrificed himself on the cross. And it's like, or even if he did, you know, it's also said, you know, the way they present it is like, oh, okay, yeah, he did. Well, it didn't mean anything. Which is why, you know, like I said, you know, when you read from the same book and you get a whole different interpretation, and, you know, you act like, you know, when the word is presented to you and you act like you still don't understand, like I said, it's kind of, you know, it's kind of rubbing me the wrong way. And I'm feeling that, you know, this is, you know, some kind of gross negligence or doctrine that was, you know, administered to, you know, to the Roman Catholic churches, where they can say, you know, don't worry about, you know, what they say about Jesus Christ and, you know, what he's done. And, you know, just, you know, this harp on, you know, like some people say, you know, I only go through the Old Testament. I don't read anything about the New Testament, and vice versa. But yet and still, everything, you know, goes hand in hand. You can't say I only believe in the Old Testament but don't believe in the New. Or you can't say I believe in the New Testament and I don't believe in the Old. So if you believe in the New Testament, so that means you don't believe in the Ten Commandments. So, you know, like I said, it all goes vice versa. And everything is, you know, all connected. All we have to do is, you know, be diligent, read, and, you know, put the words together that we're reading. And, you know, just to, you know, let everybody know, we're broadcasting on www.blogtalkradio.com. And if you're an online listener, or if you're someone that just want to chime in, or, you know, just, you know, join the conversation, the phone number, you know, the call in is 323-870-4174. And once you call in, if you'd like to talk to me, you can just press the number 1, and we can have a nice little conversation. And like I said, thank everybody for listening today, and, you know, join us for the 379th episode of the Purpose Kingdom Network. And, you know, going on about, you know, purgatory and, you know, the way it's presented. You know, the way it's presented and the way when you listen, automatically is like the way it was said to me. It was almost like a, you know, actually there was a book I read in school, was The Divine Comedy, you know, Dante's Inferno. Reading that book, which was, you know, it's a long read, but, you know, when you have assignments, you know, they assign you certain books. And, you know, that was one of them. And when purgatory was, you know, was mentioned in the conversation, that was the first thing that actually popped in my mind, was The Divine Comedy, you know, Dante. And, you know, like I said, the more the conversation started going on, the more I got rubbed the wrong way as far as, you know, actually, like, you know, what are these, you know, not to say that they're, you know, I bet you there are a lot of nice Catholic people out there, a lot of Catholic people that, diligently, you know, worship, you know, help out in the community and things of, you know, that nature, but, you know, are you really reading the Bible? Are you really reading the Bible? Or are you just listening to what someone is telling you what the Bible says or telling you, you know, the concept of what the Bible is or the concept of their interpretation of the Bible. You have to understand the Vatican has been around for a long time, and that's where, you know, that's the heart and soul of, you know, Roman Empire. I mean, the Roman Catholic Church. It does remind me of the Roman Empire. I didn't mean to, you know, compare those two, because it, you know, they're different. Been around, you know, just as long as, you know, around the same time, but you know, they're totally different. The Roman Catholic Church, you know, they do design a lot of literature. I'm quite sure, like, you know, their priests and, you know, their fathers, I'm quite sure that they may have designed literatures. You know, I'm not 100% certain. This is a guess at how they can project and turn some of the words in the Bible and use it in some of their, you know, their prayers and their, you know, their sermons. And like I said, I'm not 100% sure that's, you know, that's what goes on, but, you know, they have the money and, you know, they have the, you know, they have the resources for, you know, each and every, you know, member, you know, priest and father of the Roman Catholic faith, where they can go ahead and they can provide the literature they need, they want them to, you know, perform during their sermons. Which is, you know, I think it's kind of critical for them, because if, you know, it's like the way they present things, it's a way for, you know, people to say, hey, as long as I'm here, I'm going to be, you know, I'm listening, I'm going to be saved, because there's a purgatory, there's a Yom Kippur, there's going to be an Ash Wednesday. Well, I have that shield or that concept of, you know, I don't have to go through Jesus. I'm actually going to the church. And it sounds like a kind of mafia thing. Like, you know, okay, all I got to do is go through the church and I'm covered. You know, they give me a pathway and a, you know, guideline to get, you know, so I know I can get to where I got to go to. So, you know, I can carry on my life as you know, business as usual. And, you know, like I said, Jesus, that guy, God died on the cross. Don't worry about it. You know, don't worry about him. I can do this on my own. I'll get there. I don't have to worry about him. That's, you know, for me, that's my interpretation of how they, like the Roman Catholic, you know, I haven't been in a Roman Catholic service, but I believe that's, you know, the ideal Roman Catholic, you know, believer. I believe that's what they believe. And it's not that, you know, it's a concept they thought to believe on their own. It's a concept they thought that is after a matter of time and what the way the word has been presented to them, that's what they think after being here, after, you know, no matter, you know, like I said, I don't know how much time, but, you know, like I said, with the Roman Catholic Church and the way they actually can, you know, have enough money to actually throw literature, throw, you know, so many different people, involve so many different elements where you're almost literally probably brainwashed. For somebody to walk away, you have the actual Holy Bible in your hand, you walk in that church and, you know, this is what you come out with. You know, I just want to mention, you know, like, you know, for believers, you know, after death is to be, you know, away from the body and at home with the Lord. And you can go to 2 Corinthians, you know, chapter 5, verse 6 to 8. And also you can go to Philippians 1:23. And, you know, notice that, you know, that this does not say, you know, away from the body. In purgatory with the, you know, the cleansing fire, no, because of the, you know, perfection, you know, completion and sufficiently, you know, the sacrifice that Jesus, you know, did. And we are, you know, immediately in the Lord's presence after death. And, you know, we're fully cleansed, free from sin. You know, we're glorified, purified, and ultimately sanctified. That is, you know, that is what, you know, we know and we believe. Yet they preach differently. They saying that, you know, you'll be going through the fire. or cleansing? What are you cleansing? You know, after death, you know, you're away from your body. So are you, you know, there was no mention of, you know, cleansing your soul. So your body needs to be cleansed? Or they saying you need to be cremated? So there's a whole lot of, you know, there's a big gap opening from, you know, what they're believing in presenting to people. So now you can see why, you know, the misinterpretation grows even further as far as, you know, what they mean and, you know, what is actually happening. You know, and, you know, when it mentioned in purgatory, the funny thing about it is, you know, biblically, it's, you know, it's not really a purpose for it, in the Bible. And from what I understand, let me see. Purgatory is not really a reference, you know, it's not really referenced in the Bible. It really doesn't exist, really. And, as people, that grew up in the Word, like I said, as far as I know, the actual word purgatory is not in the Bible. That I know of. I mean, I could be wrong, but I have, I did Bible searches. And like I said, just the very definition, the meaning of purgatory, you know, I don't see where it would have suit or any purpose, you know, being in the Bible, knowing that, you know, what it means. So, you know, I can understand why it's not there. You know, what we got to understand is, you know, why is there reference and ties to, the Roman Catholics, the Catholics, they're preaching, that there's a purgatory. Why are they preaching something that is not in the Bible? And like I said, once again, it goes to the demands of the Roman, Catholic Church, right during the Vatican, that has that almighty power where they can go ahead and they can, throw at them, how and when, to, release, certain things. Like just recently, we're talking about the same Roman Catholic Church that for years said, we don't condone any form of birth control. And then recently, I guess they thought about the epidemic of HIV and AIDS. And the epidemic of HIV and AIDS are running rapid in third world countries, And, that comes from the, prevention. And, there's a lot of Catholic, the Catholic faith in a lot of third world countries. And a lot of these, third world countries, they don't have a lot of money for, contraceptives, any, pamphlets like, teen parenting or, family planning. They don't have any money or resources to have that type of thing for, for their kids. Even basic things like, what is it called? What do you call it? Physical ed or I forget, something like that. For those classes there in school where, you get to learn, how to properly, take care of your body and, birth control methods and things of that nature, or just being protected from diseases. So now they're starting to take donations and sending condoms and, contraceptives to third world countries. Whereas though, everybody has been doing it all over the world, but they just got on to the concept of, all the things that's running rampant, these third world countries got to deal with like malaria and stuff like that. Now you're introducing, HIV and AIDS to, to their population. So now you're talking about your potential followers where, you know, you're leading the world of, fellowship, where you have a lot of members, and it's, you know, the most of them are in these third world countries, and that means your numbers are shrinking. So they want to make sure they keep the numbers up. So yeah, now all of a sudden they are going into the third world country. It used to be that the Pope, whenever he was on this, you know, this side of the Western Hemisphere, you know, he would visit the United States. But recently the Pope has been going to, you know, Brazil, Chile, and, you know, very rarely, you know, may stop, you know, once or twice. And that, you know, that one time, I believe it was last year, where, you know, he stayed for a couple of days here in Philadelphia. But other than that, most of his visits are to the third world countries, where he's trying to keep, you know, he's trying to keep up the, you know, the fellowship or the fellowship there. And he's also, you know, with the leadership there, where he can help them, you know, continue with, you know, recruiting people. Basically, that's what they're doing, is recruiting people. And like I said, if you got a lot of, you know, a whole generation of your fellowship, you know, with HIV and AIDS, and, you know, you probably, you know, pretty much your fellowship is going to die off pretty soon unless, you know, you correct that problem in that region. I think that's what they're working to do. Not just to save people or help people, but just to, you know, continue on with their faith. And just like to let everybody know, we're broadcasting on www.blogtalk. Any online listeners that want to join the conversation, you can call in at 323-870-4174. And if you would like to speak to me, the host, you press 1. And just, you know, getting back to, you know, what I was talking about, just about, you know, purgatory, you know, is it real? And, you know, this is what I'm saying, you know, don't ask a Catholic, because this is where, you know, like I said, the basic concept of a good idea, until, you know, like I said, until I started actually, you know, listening to what was said to me. And there was a level of uncomfortness from what it was said. And the uncomfortness came from, do you know how many other people is, you know, that's driving up, are being told the same thing? You know, and it's not, you know, this is not me being a, you know, a Christian, you know, going at a Catholic. It's me being a Christian, and I know that what's being said to me is wrong. And possibly what's being said to, you know, other people are wrong. And, you know, like I said, the concept of purgatory, that you get a, you know, you get a chance, you know, after death, you know, atone for what you did here on earth. It, like I said, biblically, it makes no sense. It actually contradicts, you know, the crucifixion of Christ. It contradicts his sacrifice of, you know, of what he done. And, you know, with the Roman Catholic Church, I think it would be there, you know, it would be in their best interest that, yeah, this, let's just downplay the whole Jesus thing. Let's just downplay it where as though, you know, nobody even cares. Just let them know that they don't have to go through him. You know, just let them know that, you know what? Just tell them they can do it on their own. And, you know, aside from, you know, from the fact that purgatory is, like I said, is not, biblically it's not a doctrine. You know, the idea that, you know, sinners have another chance for salvation after death is in direct contradiction to the Bible. You know, and scriptures, you know, they're clear that we are to seek the Lord while he may be found. And that's going to be in Isaiah 5 and chapter 6. And let me see. Let's see if we can get there to Isaiah real quick. We just want to read that real quick. And I am almost there. And like I said, I was afraid that you guys are going to be a little bit slow getting to the chapters, but in fact, it looks like it's me just being a little bit slow. So that's going to be Isaiah 55 and 6. And, you know, like I said, seek the Lord while he may be found. call on him while he is near. And that's Isaiah 55, verse 6. And, you know, and that once we die, we, you know, we are destined to judgment. And, you know, the back going to be Hebrews 9:27. And we'll just go ahead to Hebrews 9:27. I think I'm going to be a little bit quicker here. Let's go to Hebrews 9:27. And just as people are destined to die once, and after that to face judgment. So far, you know, going through, you know what we're going through. There's no different, you know, thing. There's no, you know, going to purgatory and going through different levels or anything. You know, judgment is based on our, you know, our earthly lives, not on anything, you know, do after we die. You know, there'll be no second chance for salvation, you know, beyond this life. You know, as long as a person is alive, he has a second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, 70th, 80th, or however many chances, you know, it takes to accept Christ, you know, and be saved. And that goes to, you know, John 3:16. And let's see if we may. Let's just go to John 3:16. And yeah, I'm almost there. 3:16. And John 3:16. Okay, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That's John 3:16. All right, also, we can be found in Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10, Acts chapter 16 and 31. So, for the idea that a sinner can be, you know, correct his nature either before or after death is contrary to the Bible altogether. You know, which says that not only, you know, Christ can, you know, it says that only Christ can overcome the sin nature and impact to believers as completely new nature, as in 2 Corinthians 5:17. And I'm going to see if we can grab that real quick. 2 Corinthians. That was 5:17. Yeah, almost there. All right, and 5, and let's go down to 17. Corinthians 5:17. I think I read that down wrong. Let's see. I'm sorry, everybody, for some reason. It's like I wrote down the wrong record. And I guess I'll get back to you guys on what I was trying to the actual scripture I was trying to find there. I do have a caller. I'm just going to call on real quick. And how you doing, caller?
Hello. Hi, Dave. It's Dominique.
Hey, Dominique. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I like your show tonight. It's really good, and we definitely have to get our own understanding, and we have to read the Bible for ourselves and get that our own understanding. And regarding the part about praising, basically in Psalms 6, is it 6:5? Yeah, in Psalm 6:5, it says that we cannot praise God in the dirt. We cannot praise him in the pit, you know. So when we're dead, when we're gone, when we're dead, that's it. we cannot praise him and there's no profit in our death. You know, we cannot praise God in the dirt, so we have to do it while we're still living, you know. We can't live our life the way we want to, do our own will here on earth, and then think that when we die that then we can get that chance to praise God or repent. No, we have to do it now while we still have a chance, you know. So definitely, like you said, like you can, you get a chance after chance as long as you're living. And that's the thing. We don't know the time or day when we'll die, so do it right now, you know. You can be going the
next
day. So definitely make, you know, definitely serve God while you have the chance. And don't think that you have forever, you know, because some people's life can be cut short. But, yes,
right.
I love what you're doing there. So keep up. I'll continue to listen.
Okay, thanks.
All right. Have a good night.
All right, you too. And that was my lovely daughter, Dominique Hudson. And we're going to see if we can get past 21.
Now, you well, past you know 20? I was going to come on. Praise
yes,
the Lord.
Praise him.
You know I was going to come on with this topic. You know
yes,
this
I did.
Was going to get this going. And it's funny, if I can give you a little bit of history. I always counted a blessing for me now that as a little girl, you know, they didn't have private schools, when a lot of private schools when I was growing up, but they had Catholic schools. So if your parents didn't want you going to public schools, you went to Catholic school. And my saving grace in being a child going to Catholic school is that I grew up with a grandfather who was a Baptist pastor. So it kept me grounded from a lot of things. But I'm going to share with you what makes the Catholics believe in the purgatory. It's actually in the book of Maccabees, 2 Maccabees. And the first thing you have to understand is you're not going to find Maccabees, not first nor second, in the general Bible. You can find it in the lost books of the Bible. If you're lucky enough to have a Bible with what they call an apocryphal section, you can find it in there. Or if you can get your hands on a Catholic Bible, you can find that book in there. But in 2 Maccabees, the 12th chapter, verses somewhere between like the 30th to the 50th verse, I may be off slightly with the numbers that I'm saying, but somewhere in between like the 30th and the 50th verse, basically what's going on is the Jewish army had just gotten into a war. And Judas Maccabees, who is a member of the Jewish military force, he and some of his comrades had begun to collect the bodies of their fallen comrades so that, you know, they could give them the proper burial and things of that nature. Well, in their collecting the bodies, they discovered that some of their comrades had worn some kind of gold idol thing for their safety. And, of course, that was considered a high sin. It's still a sin, but it was considered a high sin to anyone of the Jewish faith, and they believed that their comrades had died because of their idolatry. So they immediately took the idols, and they prayed that God would forgive them. Now, remember, they're dead. But they prayed that God would forgive them in the life to come. And then they took those gold idols and they went to the sanctuary and they had the high priest make a sin offering on behalf of those fallen soldiers. And because of that, that is what brings about that whole concept of a purgatory. That's what brings about that whole concept of a second chance. But now, even with that, you find, as you said, a misinterpretation of what was going on, because to understand how that could have been done in that time, you have to remember that this was before Christ. This was before the birth of Christ. This was before his sacrificial death on the cross. This was before his resurrection. Remember, the word of God says that after, quote, Christ rose from the dead, those saints, those who had died in the Lord, those who were saved, you know, not saved because Christ had yet come, but who had walked with God, you know, Abraham, Adam, Noah, you know, Methuselah, King David, Solomon, those great saints, when Jesus rose from the grave, the scripture says that they even appeared in Jerusalem to different people. So they rose that first resurrection. Christ got up, then he got them up. And there was that great parade back unto the Father. So that was then. But Christ has now come. See, they were still waiting for that first resurrection. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? They were waiting for Christ to come. Now, where they haven't messed up at is they think that now that you can still pray for the dead. No, their works have ceased and has gone on to the Father before them. As you said, to sit here now and believe that there is a purgatory that you go to if you die saved, believing in Jesus Christ, but still full of sin, thinking that there's a purgatory is, as you said, it negates the work of Christ. Another scripture that they like to use is, I believe it's 1 Corinthians.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's 1 Corinthians. They like to use 1 Corinthians, the 3 verses. Where is that verse at? Because I was looking at it earlier.
I think it's 12 and 15.
Right. Well, yeah, 12. Well, I'm going to start up at 11. It says, For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man builds upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stable, you have read this earlier, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And that is what they're calling this purgatorial fire. Understand that this scripture is based on the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when the day of Pentecost had finally come, the Holy Spirit descended on the people as cloves of tongues of fire?
Mm-hmm.
Your works are going to be tried by the fire of the Spirit. Stands will get rewarded. What is meant by that which stands? That which was done from a place of just purely serving and worshiping God. You didn't do it to get recognized for it. You didn't do it to get praised for it. You didn't do it so everybody could know. You just, God touched your heart and you moved in obedience. That's what's going to get rewarded. So I just bless God for you for bringing forth this topic this evening, because that's what's wrong with the body of Christ as a whole right now. And I love the way you said it. You said, you know, I'm not attacking the Catholic Church. I'm just trying to let you know there ain't no place called purgatory. You got to get that thing right now. And for that person that's sitting there going, oh, you're just coming at my belief, I'm going to tell you like I said about my faith in Jesus Christ. I'd rather live my life believing in Jesus Christ and then die and find out that I was wrong. You see what I'm saying? I'd rather live my life believing in Christ and find out that I was wrong at the end than to live my life not believing and find out I was wrong at the end. Because if you don't believe and you find out you're wrong, ain't no way to fix it. No, you're not going to purgatory. He made a way for you. He made a way in. He didn't say, okay, I made a way, but just in case you get lost, I'm going to create a back door. Jesus warned you about that back door. He warned us about it. He said people are going to come, and they're going to say this, that, and the other, but I'm here to tell you there is no way to the Father but through me. I am the door.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sorry. I didn't see you got me going. So I just bless God for what you are bringing forth this evening. That's all I'm going to say. I'm blessing God for you, and I'm going to sit back and enjoy the rest of the teaching.
Amen. Amen. Thanks so much, Pastor Tory. And
God bless.
And, you know, just, you know, mentioning that, you know, how we, you know, we got away, you know, a little bit away from things. Actually, you know, I'm going to do the call of salvation, and I'm going to wrap up things. You know, like Pastor Tory was saying, you know, we know right from wrong. You know, we've been taught it. And, you know, just like reading the Bible, once you read the Bible, you know, you don't have to be, you know, a scholar. You don't have to break down every word and every, you know, every scripture. But you do know, you know, what it means. We have, that's why we have passages in the Bible, you know, Mark, Luke, Matthew, you know, they're all backing one another up on their own accounts and their own accord, you know, the gospel according to Jesus, you know, what happened, you know, what they witnessed. You know, you and your own self, you know, you're your own witness, you know, you're your own testimony. By, you know, determining what's right and wrong, one of the things is, you know, the right, one of the wrongs is do justice for your soul. And that is to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's, you know, it's real simple. You know, you can just, you know, say, you know, if you're starting out for the first time and, you know, you don't know which way to, you know, put the, you know, your first foot forward, you're going to say, you know, Jesus Christ, you know, I'm a sinner. You know, I know you died on the cross for my sins. You know, thank you so much. I humbly accept, you know, your offering of sacrifice to save my soul. You know, please accept me humbly as I become your humble servant, you know, to serve you throughout the rest of my days. And once you say that, you know, you're accepting Jesus Christ in your life. You know, it's pretty easy, you know, once you do that. And the next step is, you know, to tell someone, you know, confess with the tongue and, you know, just say, you know, I believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. And you know, he died on the cross for my sins. And I accept him in my life. And you can just tell your mom, you tell your best friend, you tell anybody you want. Just make sure you tell somebody. And then, you know, please just try to, you know, find a Bible believing teaching. You know, you can prosper in the word. And, you know, you can, you know, be with, you know, someone that can help you grow in the word, where you can, you know, you can develop yourself further as far as, you know, what you, you know, what you confess, you know, like I said, with your, you know, with your tongue. And, you know, you can always turn to us if you can't find that Bible believing preaching church. You know, we're here, we're broadcasting almost every day, providing ministry for everybody. Where you can feel comfortable and you can, you know, grow closer to, you know, to God. You know, we're bridging the gap between, you know, the, you know, people, you know, the citizens, and, you know, to the kingdom. We want to get closer. We want, you know, to increase that, you know, that walk that you have, where you can walk closer with Christ. And, you know, as wrapping up things up, you know, we're going to broadcast tomorrow at the 9 p.m. hour with our, you know, our special network news, and it's going to be various hosts. And, you know, like I said, we're going to be at the 9 p.m. hour tomorrow. You can also, if you want to, you know, correspond with us, you can send us an email at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com. We'd like to hear, you know, your comments, concerns, questions, or, you know, if you have prayer requests, you can just go ahead and send them that way, and we'll be, you know, we'll gladly honor them. Also, you can hit us up on purpose_kingdom@gmail on Twitter. And likewise, we'll do the same thing. We're also on Facebook at Purpose Kingdom on our business page, where you'll see our, you know, daily lineup. And, you know, like I said, you know, you're enjoying the program, you know, also tell a friend. And, you know, we've been broadcasting on www.blogtalkradio.com. And, you know, our phone number to call in to any of our host show is 323-870-4174. I'd like to thank you. This has been the show Self-Expressions. This is Brother Robert Pop Hudson. I had fun with you guys. I'll see you again, you know, God willing, August 12th is going to be my next show. And, you know, just stay tuned. Like I said, join us tomorrow evening at 9 p.m. And, hey, you know, it's been fun. Thanks, everybody, for, you know, joining in the broadcast. Like I said, you know, just, you know, God bless everyone, and, you know, stay in the Word. And God willing, I'll see you in another 2 weeks. God bless everyone.
Jesus bled.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose.
Devil wanna see me down, I will not.